paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode. Hello everyone and welcome back to another dark minisode. Firstly, again, a big thank you to everyone who's reached out with your feedback, with your submissions, and with your comments around the changes we've made. I want to thank each and every one of you for being so positive about those changes, and in general for just being the best listeners that I believe exist on any paranormal podcast anywhere. So thank you sincerely. Now, of course, if you do like the show and you are new to the show, in the show notes, we do have a week's free access to our Patreon at the highest tier, where you can gain access to not only a new Dark Bite show every week, that's a Patreon-only show, where we listen to some of our shorter experiences we've received, but also the back catalogue of Dark Bites, which is well over 180 hours worth of Patreon-only material. Plus, for our highest tier on Patreon, you can take a look at our new video series, After Dark, where I literally press record on a video camera and talk, unedited, for 30 minutes about the topics we've discussed that week. It's more of a flow of consciousness about my theories and ideas, and it's just brought something new to what can seem like a rather serious show. And when I say seem like, of course, the show itself is serious. Deadly serious. However, there is always room, especially behind the curtain at Patreon, to get to know each other a little bit better. So check out the show notes there, and there you will also find a link to submit your experience for the dark paranormal. Irrelevant of length, we will find a place to use it, be it on the main show, a minisode, or indeed as one of our shorter experiences for Dark Bites. But speaking of shorter experiences, we have a dark minisode to get to. So as it's Wednesday, it's the working week, if you are at work and you're listening, press pause, wait till you have a break, and spend 15 to 20 minutes with a nice cup of tea or coffee as we hear all about where evil feeds. Hi Kevin. I've gone back and forth on whether to send this for months. I keep thinking nobody's going to believe me anyway. And honestly, if somebody told me this 5 years ago, I wouldn't be believing them either. But it happened. And it's still happening. And I need someone who actually knows about this stuff to tell me what they think. Because I'm out of my depth. I've changed every name, including my own, and I'm keeping the location well out of it. You'd understand why if I could tell you. If you want the real details yourself, just ask me and I'll send them on. But I will ask you not to share them publicly, as people work here, kids live here, and I cannot have this traced back. I won't confirm my gender either, but I'll go by a female of the name Nadia for this experience. I work on the night shift at a residential facility for young people. The building is old, much older than the job it does now. Before it is what it is today, it was ran by the church. It was an institution for children. And what happened inside it, when the church had control, was nothing but evil. And I don't use that word lightly. Kids were abused in every way you can think of, both SA and physical abuse, locked in rooms underground for days as punishment for nothing. A child could be thrown down there for speaking at the wrong time. And there were deaths, at least two that are documented, but probably much more. The church shut it all down quietly and the building changed hands a few times before it became what it is now. The building's been modernised, but the structure is the same. The walls are the same. And whatever's in those walls didn't leave when the church did. Now, personally, as a hobby, I've been into the paranormal for years. I've explored abandoned sites all over the country. Hospitals, old factories, even a monastery once. And I've had experiences in those places, but nothing that truly scared me. However, this place is different. Very different. It's in a different league completely. And I have to walk through it alone every hour in the evening / morning, 5 nights of a week. From day one, my colleagues told me the building was active when they found out what my hobby was. They told me doors would be found open that were locked on the previous round. They'd hear footsteps above them when the floor above was empty. They'd feel cold spots that would seem to move. Two of the senior employees have seen a dark figure stood in the upstairs corridor, stood totally still, then disappearing when they look again. One of them, a lad I'll call Marco, is probably the hardest bloke I've ever met, and he refuses to patrol the East Wing alone. He said it feels like someone walks with him, stride for stride, just behind his shoulder. I thought he was exaggerating, until I felt it too. A few months in, I couldn't leave it alone anymore. I wanted to know what we were dealing with. So I started recording audio on my night shifts. Nothing fancy, a few voice recorders that I have for my hobby that I left in spare rooms or empty rooms where kids were not, and in the corridors before my rounds, and then I collect them a few hours later. I did this for about 3 weeks across different parts of the building. Most of it was nothing at all, static, or my own footsteps from a distance approaching the recorder. But then I started catching things. The first one that stopped me cold was from the second floor landing. On that recording, you can clearly hear a young male voice say a room number. A specific room. Then there's a pause. Then the same voice says three words slowly. Alone. Frozen. Gone. It turned out that room belonged to a former resident who'd left the facility when he aged out. He ended up homeless. A couple of the longer-serving staff told me he'd sadly died rough, of exposure. Found in a car park in the middle of winter. Alone. Frozen. Gone. I played that recording for Marco and another colleague that I'll call Rick. Marco went pale. Rick said he wasn't surprised. They told me things had been getting worse over the last year or so. More activity. More tension in the building at night. The kids had been having night terrors. Staff were leaving faster. So I kept going, leaving recorders in more areas. On one recording from an empty group room, I caught a female voice repeating what sounded like a name. Then she said a word that sounded like hurt. Then she screamed. Not a word, a scream. And it cut through the static like glass. Then silence. Then the same voice. Much, much quieter, saying, please. On another recording from a hallway near the back stairwell, I caught a male voice. Deep, aggressive. It said a word I won't repeat, and then what sounded like, get out. I asked Marco and Rick to listen without telling them what I thought I'd heard. I gave them a pen and paper and asked them to write down what they thought they heard. They both scribbled away at the exact same time, and I could see the colour drain from their faces. I asked them to reveal their papers, and they shone the exact same words that I'd heard, independently. Let's have a quick break to talk to you about Acorns. Acorns wants to show a little love to everyone who's on their way to some money goal. Now, a money goal may sound like something everyone has, but believe me, they don't. And even when you think you do, you don't really take into account the step-by-step incremental measurements that need to be made in order to achieve said goal, which is something I personally don't have the time to do. This is where Acorns do their magic, because they try to take you from where's my money today to that goal. And the way they do that is they focus on where your money's going to be tomorrow. There's two major things I want to point out with this. You don't need a bundle of cash to invest. You can invest your spare change. And the second thing is, I'm fortunate enough that the money I've invested, I've seen grow. And using the app, I can see that visually. They also have a potential screen. It shows you the power of compounding your money and how by doing so, you could grow it over time. Basically, for me, Acorns is an all-in-one. Invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. Sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 40 million all-time customers who've already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/docparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 11 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/docparanormal.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program.
I'm able to live my life and still hit my goals.
Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
One night, when it was just the three of us on shift, I suggested we tried a live session. No equipment beyond the recorder running. Just us sat in one of the empty activity rooms, the lights off, asking questions out loud, leaving gaps for responses, and then rewinding the tape to listen to what was there. What we got back was enough to make me seriously consider quitting the job. Firstly, we asked if anyone was with us. On the playback was a voice that said, many. So we asked, how many? It said a number, 12. We asked if they needed help, and multiple voices overlapped one another, but one cut through clearly and said, trapped. Then the recorder picked up something none of us had in the room at the time, although it being very loud on the recorder. A child, laughing. But wrong. Slow. Controlled. Like someone pretending to be a child who didn't quite know how laughter from a child was supposed to sound. We asked who was laughing, gave a pause, listened back. Nothing for a while, and then a deep voice said, me. Marco asked what it wanted. The voice said, her. Well, we all assumed it meant me. I asked why. We played it back and it said, women, something, pain. Women deserve pain, said Rick. He said he heard it as clear as a bell. Then he said, she's done nothing to you. She's here respectfully. Again, we left a gap and again, we played back the recording. Again, a small pause and then, liar. Then, on the recording, as clear as anything, it said my name. My real name, not Nadia. My actual first name that I'd not said once during that session. Rick said, "All right, that's enough." But we left the tape recording for a while. On playback, there was a sound none of us heard live. It was a woman, screaming in pure terror, long and drawn out. Then the recording just had static for the remaining 10 minutes. We sat in that room for another 10 minutes after we stopped talking and felt absolutely nothing. It was still, calm, like whatever was there had pulled back. But when we played the recording the next day, we all agreed on the same thing. It started off sounding like lost people, sad people, trapped people. Then it was like something else took over. The fake child laughing, the deep voice, knowing my name, the scream. That wasn't the same thing as the people at the start. It was something else, wearing voices like a costume. And when we didn't react the way it wanted to, it dropped the act. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I needed to understand what we were dealing with. So I booked a session with a spiritual medium the following week. A woman I'd never met in a town 20 miles from where I work. She knew nothing about me. I sat down and told her one thing. Something is wrong where I work, and I need to know what it is. She closed her eyes, and within seconds her face changed. She looked like she was going to be sick there and then. She said, "There is so much suffering in that building." Then she said, "Whatever you've been doing at night, stop it. And stop it now. You're not communicating with the dead. You're communicating with something that was never alive." She then told me she believed, although she couldn't be specific, that years ago someone in that building had tried to perform a kind of ritual. She couldn't work out what kind, but she said she knew it was deliberate. She knew it was done by someone who wanted to contact the dead. And instead, they opened something that should have remained shut. She said the object used was never removed from the building, and as long as it stays, that doorway stays open. She said what came through feeds on suffering. I thanked her, we ended our session, and I headed to my car, thinking about the history of that place. The fact it would be like a battery for it. The pain, the abuse, the death. It would sustain this thing. And it would keep the spirits of the people who suffered trapped there because their pain would be what it fed on. When I reached my car, I realized I'd left my keys on her desk. So I returned. She was stood tidying some folders, and she asked me out of interest where I worked. When I told her, she asked immediately if children still live there, and I said yes. She put her hand to her mouth and said those children will be experiencing things they can't explain. Nightmares, feeling watched, irrational fear of certain rooms. She said it won't physically harm them, but it would feed on their fear, and it will make itself known to the most vulnerable ones. She went to the back and came out with something to protect myself while I'm there. I placed the trinket in my bag, thanked her, and, now more scared than before, got back to my car. I went back to work the next night, and I told Marco and Rick about what she'd said, about this ritual, about an object still being in the building. They both went quiet. And then Marco told me something that made my blood run cold. He said about 4 years before I started, a group of the elder girls living at the facility managed to get hold of a book on summoning the dead. Marco's words, not mine. I'm sure he meant something different. Maybe not. One of them had stolen it from a second-hand shop downtown. They did something with that book one night in one of the basement rooms. Staff only found out because the girls were hysterical afterwards, refusing to sleep in their rooms. But they were made to per the rules. After one girl in particular started calling through on the intercom every single night, saying in a whispering sob that a tall man was stood in the corner of her room watching her, they decided to let the girls switch rooms. Staff wrote it off as nightmares. The book was confiscated, but Marco said as far as he knew, nobody ever checked whether it was destroyed or shoved in a cupboard somewhere. I haven't done any recordings in this building since. I want to. Part of me is desperate to understand what's in that basement. But I know now that whatever is there, it's not something that's going to give me answers. It just wants a reaction. It wants fear. And I was giving it exactly what it wanted. I still work there, and I still do my rounds. A few weeks ago, Marco and myself were sat at the desk on a quiet shift. And from behind us, at the same time, we heard a growl. Low, rumbling, long. Not mechanical, not an animal. A growl that sounded like it came from mid-air. From a chest that shouldn't exist. We looked at each other. Neither of us got up. We sat there for 5 minutes in silence and then carried on like it hadn't happened. Because what are you supposed to do? I'd really like to hear what you think of this thing. I've got my own ideas, but I don't trust them as I'm too close to it. If you'd like to hear about other places I've explored, I've got plenty of those too. Thanks for reading this. It means a lot. Nadia. Well, Nadia, I know that's not your real name, and you have sent me through one of those EVPs, which I can say kept me up at night, so thank you for that. But I think I speak on behalf of us all when I say we would love to hear more of your explorative stories, so please send them on through. Now, regarding my opinion, it's irrelevant, because I am not an expert in this field. I genuinely don't believe there are experts in this field. I believe people have gifts. I believe people have the ability to know when certain energies are about, even to see or speak with the dead. But experts, I don't think you can have in a field that science won't take seriously, because we have no metrics. And I, for one, would never consider myself to be an expert. An expert at hearing experiences, yes. In the field of the paranormal, no, and be very fearful of anyone who claims to be so. But we do all have our own theories. Now, and this is not a plug, believe me, as any of our patrons who've watched the videos will say, but on our new After Dark series, where I get to speak non-stop for 30 minutes without editing, that seems to be when my best theories come out, as it sort of opens up my subconscious to just flow. Yet, theories are something I can jump to pretty quickly, and that's not to say they're right by any stretch of the imagination. But in truth, this experience, to me anyway, is kind of self-explanatory. I don't need to put a theory to this. In fact, I would struggle to find one. Because everything that was mentioned by yourself within the narrative of this experience, for me, would be what I would claim as a theory. Someone has to use a phrase that is modern parlance these days, effed about and found out. So they've tried to make some sort of ritual. They believe, according to Marco, summoning the dead. In turn, that opens some sort of portal, which appears to have let through this deity. And I say deity over entity, given what you describe the psychic as saying in terms of it's never been alive. And this evil deity appears, yes, as I would fully expect, to live on attention and fear. So, in terms of how did this happen, I think you pretty much lay down how it's happened. In terms of how you would get rid, I think I would go with the psychic's word over a podcaster's. But Nadia, sincerely, thank you for this minisode. And yes, I will reiterate it. Given how good this was, we want to hear more from you. Please do either click the link in the show notes or just reply to the email address you sent the EVP to. I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to join me on this minisode for today. And I can't wait to speak to you all on Friday for our next installment of The Dark Paranormal. Until then, stay safe and take care.